Shalom everyone, this is Parashat Shlach Lecha, a tough one. It's a tough one, usually after Shavuot, and Shlach Lecha is a story, as we said, tough one. We are reading in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 1. And here it is, it starts on verse 2, and God spoke to Moses saying, Shlach lecha anashim, send for you people, v'yaturu et eretz Knan, and if you know Hebrew, v'yaturu means, I checked it out, in the English translation, usually it says, let them go and spy the land of Knan. But in Hebrew, to tour, it's like in English, tour, it's to be a tourist. They are being supposed to be the first ones. Can you imagine, after hundreds of years being in exile, the first one to step on the holy ground of the promised land? Okay? So, ish echad lemate avotav, tishlachu kol nasi bahem. They were the most powerful, the most amazing people in the whole camp of Israel. They were the chieftains, the leaders of every tribe. 12 tribes, 12 people in the team. Okay? So, who are they? They are the board of directors of the Israelite nation. They are the ones sitting every day with Moses. And you know, Moses, he could read you. Okay? He could see everything. He could see through you. It's the CT, rentgen, whatever you want. He just could. So, meeting every day on the board with Moses, you had to be somebody really special. It was not a politician. They were the best. And they were sent to visit for 40 days journey and tour the country. Vayishlach otam Moshe, and I'm reading verse 3, Vayishlach otam Moshe, and Moses is sending them mimidbar Paran, from the desert of Paran, which is very south of the Negev, al pi Hashem, it's by God's order, kulam anashim, all of them are real great people. That's what it says. Kulam anashim. Rashei bnei Yisrael hema. The heads of the children of Israel. Ve'ele shmotam, and these are the names. And something very, we'll see. There's some hints over there that there's a deeper picture. Okay, so everybody knows the story. They go, 12 of them. They go. They make the journey for 40 days. They start on the new moon of Tammuz, Cancer. They come back on the 9th of Av. Okay? And as they go through the land, something happens to them. They start to turn around. 40 days, it's a long time. Mm-hmm. And they suddenly start to see what's wrong with the country where they came out. That was not the issue. Nobody asked them. Right? Why did they leave Egypt? They left Egypt to get to the promised land, correct? Suddenly they come up with the idea, 10 of them, that they can't go into the land. This is so unreasonable. Why? Till the Exodus, we know through archaeology and other stuff, the land of Canaan was occupied by Egypt. 10 plagues, spreading the Red Sea, that brought Egypt to its knees. When the Israelites are coming there, this is a year and few months, like a year and Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, a year and 2.5 months after the Exodus. There's no Egyptian presence in the land of Canaan. Why? Egypt collapsed. Now, you got the Egyptian Empire on its knees, and you have a problem occupying, taking over the serfs, the slaves of Egypt from the last few, who knows how many decades and centuries. It's illogical. What went into them? They go into the land, and they go through the country, and Moses is telling them, go up the Negev, and then you go up the mount, Uritem et haaretz, and you see the land. There's no issue, are we getting in or not? We left Egypt to get into this land. Okay? Moses is just asking them, look around, see what's going on. see the people, so we know what's in front of us. The nation sitting on it, ha-chazaku ha-rafei, are they strong people, are they weak? Ha-me'atu im-rav, is it a lot of people, few people? We know very few. The biggest city in the land of Canaan, we know today from archaeology, was something the size of an acre. Do you know what I mean? A city the size of an acre? It's not a city. They didn't have cities. It's like that was a like backwards country. Not third world. It's not even populated. Okay, there were few kind of forts. That was the whole thing. That was the whole city. The whole country. Okay? So check it out. Are they fortified? Which means, are they afraid? When do you have a fortified city? When you're afraid of invasion? Or are they sitting without walls? Which means, they're sitting there sure. They are secure. Ma'aretz shmenayim raza, is the land fat or skinny? These are the words. Okay? Hayesh ba'etzim ayin, is there a tree over there, or ayin, or none? You don't ask this way. First of all, you ask if there are trees, right? Not a tree. A tree, ready learning. When we use the word a tree, this is the tree of life, right? And what is ayin? Ayin, we're talking about, is that the consciousness of the Keter or the consciousness of Zeir Anpin? This is the question. We'll see, the Zohar is talking about it. Basically, Moses is checking the people. Are they ready to get in? That's what the Zohar says. V'itchazaktem ulkachtem v'priyatz, and you bring the fruits of the land. And now it's the land, it's the beginning of the summer. So, they brought these enormous, huge fruits. Nothing was normal. You know, Israel is never a normal country. Nothing here is normal. Okay? V'yalu v'yatur et ha'aretz, it says, and they wrote, they ascended, they went up, and they toured the country. That's a word, tour. That's a Hebrew word. Mimidbar tzin ad rechov levo chama, they went all the way up to what is north of Lebanon of today, the promised land. V'yalu b'negev v'yavo ad chevron, and here comes the story. Verse 22, chapter 13. They ascended up the Negev. The Negev means the southern desert of Israel. They ascended, and then it says, in the same sentence, and they ascended up the Negev, Vayavo at Hebron, and he came to Hebron. And the question is, why do you start in plural, and then you continue in single? Okay, and then it says, Vesham in Hebron, Achiman, Sheshai, V'Talmai, Yelidei Anak. Achiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the giants. V'Hebron, Sheva Shanim, Nimta, Lifnei Tzon, Mitzrayim. So it was very scary, you know, to come and visit a city with giants, and the whole story of giants, I don't want to go into it. And V'Yavod, Nachal Eshkol, and we go on the story, but the most important thing is what is the whole story. Because they come back and they're split. 10 of them, they cry, they mourn, they say, it's like, totally illogical. We just brought the empire of Egypt down to its knees. Now, the little tiny country, Canaan, that was its servant, and there's nothing, really nothing over there. How can you turn that country to be such a threat that everybody cries the whole night? Till comes the decree, you're going to perish here in the desert for 40 years. Only your children will have the merit to see the Holy Land. Two of them did not fall into it. Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb. Yeshua was the head of the tribe of Ephraim. Caleb was the head of the tribe of Yehuda. They didn't fall into it. And our question is, what really happened over there? What was the real story? Because he can't explain it logically. Okay? And there are many, many attempts to explain it logically. And remember, they were not just people, they were not politicians, they were the heads of the board, the directors of the board of the Israelite nation when Moses is the CEO. They had the best background of spirituality ever. And they failed, 10 of them, 10 out of 2. What happened over here? Okay. And there's another thing. They say, we come. Verse 27. We came to the land that you sent us to. It's a land of milk and honey. Look at the fruits. Every fruit was not normal. There was giant. There was something about the fertility of the land that it creates something that doesn't look like nothing else. Ephes. Kneel. Ki az ha'am, the people over here are so strong. What do you mean? We just beat up the Egyptians. What are you talking about? Can you just even compare a little bit? The Egyptians and the Canaanites? The master and the slave? V'arim betzurot gdolot mod, and very big countries. What did we say? An acre size of one city? The biggest cities. That's a city? It's a little fortress. V'gam yelidei anak ra'inu sham. We saw giants over there. There were four giants. Okay? Amalek yosef be'eretz ha'negev. There's Amalekites, and they know the people are afraid of the Amalekites. Okay. Vayas Kalev et ha'am. I just skip a little bit, verse 30. So Caleb, he says, everybody, we can go. We'll inherit the country. We can do that. But the others said, no, we can't. It's too much for us. Can you imagine a country that is scarcely populated, little tiny fortresses here and there, and you have an organized army of a nation of 3 million people? It's not even late, 40 years later, Joshua takes it like this. What was their blunder? What made them fall? That's a question. And just a second, this was 34 centuries ago. Why do we care? Because this was not written about them, it's written about us. Our judgment of reality. How we can fall again and again, and no matter what's our background. This is the issue. Because if they fell, now if I had Moses, my teacher, and I'm meeting him every day, you know, and then I made such a great mistake that cost me by my life, so who's safe? What can we say? In our generation, what can we say about ourselves, about our judgment, our ability to tell, you know, what's right and what's wrong? You have two answers. One, we have no chance. Forget it. Life is... we lost before we tried. Or there must be another secret, the secret of success over here, even though you know you're blind. This is what you have in this parasha. You know you're blind, and you can still make it happen. How? Let's continue. Vayotziu, that's verse 32. Vayotziu dibat haaretz. And they spoke evil on the land. Asher tar ota, they went touring. El bnei Yisrael emor haaretz asher avarnu ba latur ota eretz ochelet yoshveah. You know? 34 centuries later, you see, people live in Israel. The country is a miracle. It's not perfect. There's so many, many things to fix. There's so many things to build. Thank God. Otherwise, you see, it's like, who needs me? There's so much to do. But still, the whole world is like, what happened over here? This country was like not even a third world country. 100 years ago, it was just desolated. Nothing grew up. It was so cursed, like in the Torah. It's like cursed. Nothing could grow. And now you see what's going on. It's like a garden. And it's growing every day, faster and faster, and more things are going to come. But you see, if there's so many people give up, and what do they say? Eretz ochelet yoshvia. The same, they use the same words. It's a land that consummate its inhabitants. Okay, so you can't. If that's what you think, you have to get out. You can't stay in this country. It's too intense. Now, if you're a person that is laid back and you like, you know, Orange County spirit, nothing happens. Everything has to be calm. You know, you need to hear the birds and stuff like this. And, you know, even going to LA, it's too stressful for you. Okay? That's not your place. That's not your place. Why? Everything here is intense. This is the promised land. This is the center point. There's a vortex of intense energy everywhere you go. And that's why you look at the Israelis. It's like they're going on fire. They speak loud and they're intense and they're not polite. It's like they think that being polite is a waste of time. And it's like, and they're abrupt and they speak loud and, okay, and they do everything fast and they do a lot. And if they stop you, they do it slow to stop you, right? So you say, you can say, wow, I'm in love. I'm addicted to the intensity of this. And that's why you see Israelis going outside and then they realize, what's going on over here? Everything is dead. Nothing's happening. It's like, guys, wake up. Are you sleeping or something? No, we're very stressed out. You can't stay there and you go back. Most Israelis who leave, they go back after a while. They can't stand. But they are the ones who say, this is the land that that consummate its inhabitants. People die here by masses. No. One of the top, countries in the world by life expectancy. People seems to be, they love it, the intensity over here. What are we talking about? And the answer is, and we see it, chapter 14, let's continue, verse 1. Vatisa kol ha'eda v'itnu et kulam v'ivku ha'am b'layla hu. And the whole congregation raised their voice, and they wept and they cried the whole night. V'ilonu al Moshe v'al Aaron, and they complained to Moses and Aaron. The whole children of Israel, v'aymu aleim kol ha'eda lumatnu b'eretz Mitzrayim u'bamidbar hazeh lumatni. We wish we were dead in Egypt or in the desert, because those Canaanites will kill us just like this. ולמה השם הביא אותנו לארץ הזאת לנפול בחרב? Why does the Creator bring us to this land to fall by the sword? Our women, our children, what did they do to you? ויפול משה ואהרון על פניהם לפני כל, and Moses and Aaron fell on their faces to start praying, and okay, we have a big mess over here. There's so much judgment. That will stop everything. Okay. What are we talking about? Because this story is massive, and this story happened on the 9th of Av, and the Midrash is saying, God said, you're crying for nothing, I'll give you a reason to cry. So this is the date. On the 9th of Av, it was decreed that everybody has to die in the desert. All the ones who are 20 and up have to die. Neither of these men could go into the Holy Land. The women were not into this picture. You know, they had enough, you know, in the beginning with Eve. After that, they're not into the picture anymore of making the mistakes. It's the men making the mistakes. That's why Rabbi Isaac Luria is saying, why do you think today women are taking control and they can't listen to their husbands and they know much better? It's the same women from the desert coming back in reincarnation. And they say, you know, you guys, you messed up all the last 3,000 years. And why should we listen to you? You know, every turn you took the wrong turn. So we're not supposed to listen to you because you're doing it wrong anyway. And you know, the chances you're going to do it right are so slim to none. So we go our way. Okay, that's what Rabbi Isaac Luria said 500 years ago. And it became even worse the last 500 years, correct? So, there was another sentence that we skipped when the spies, now they're not tourists anymore, they're spies, okay? And they say, when we saw the giants, that's chapter 14, verse 33, remember that. ושם ראינו את הנפילים בני ענק. We saw the giants. ונהי בינינו כחגבים. And we saw ourselves like grasshoppers. וכן היינו ביניהם. And so they looked at us. Which means the sin was that they saw themselves as grasshoppers. You are representing Moses and the children of Israel. Never happened in history that a nation of slaves broke through from an empire like Egypt and declared independence. Never happened in history that a nation like this went through the desert for more than a year and survived, experiencing something like Mount Sinai revelation, like the splitting of the Red Sea. All of this is unprecedented. And you're afraid of these few giants? What happened to you? What made them fall? And they said, because we saw ourselves as grasshoppers. That's how they looked at you, at us. You can stand in front of a person like two times your size, but if you look at them straight in the eyes, like this, he's so tall, but you have all the guts in the world and you know you're going to make it, they're not going to be so sure they're going to make it, crushing you. Like David killed Goliath. Right? Isn't that what the Tanakh is telling us? What happened to them? They are the best, the greatest. If they fell, what can we say about our decision-making process? So, the Zohar gives us a very, very powerful answers. First of all, Kevan Sheitchil Moshe Lishloach, I'm reading in the Sulam of Rabbi Ashlag, verse 10. כיוון שהתחיל משה לשלוח, when Moses was going to send them, מה אמר להם? What did he tell them? היש בעץ, is there a tree? You know what? 100 years ago, there were no trees. You see pictures from all over Israel 100 years ago? No trees. So we planted trees. So millions and millions and millions and millions of trees. You go from Ben Gurion Airport to Jerusalem, it's like a garden. But you look at the pictures, 48, nothing. It was a desert. It looks like a garden, so much lush. What happened? We planted trees. It didn't grow by itself. Okay? So, Moses, you have a problem? If there are no trees, you're going to tell, okay, God, Canaan doesn't work, take us to Canada. There are more trees over there. Right? What is this issue? So we said, "Hayesh ba'etz." V'chi ma'u shamar ze? What did he say? V'chi tomar shelo adayim yesh ba'etz. And can't Moses make, you know, an astro traveling and go and see there are trees or not? And what do you care? What's your business? God told you to go to the promised land. You go to the promised land and you don't ask if there are trees or not. It's none of your business. Whatever is there, we do it. We deal with it. Kach amar Moshe, but Moses said, אם יש בעץ, אני יודע שכנס שם. Moses said, if there is a tree, I know I'm going to get there. מהו עץ? What's a tree? זהו עץ החיים. This is the tree of life. הוא לא היה שם, אלא בגן עדן הארץ. אמר משה, אם יש בעץ הזה, אני אכנס שם, ואם לא, אני יכול להיכנס. Moses said, now you know why it says in the beginning, שלח לך. Send for yourself. The first words in the parasha, send for yourself. You should check it out. When those people, the chosen ones, the best one, go into the land, are they ready to experience the tree of life? Or are they going to find the tree of knowledge, good and evil? If they feel the tree of life, they are ready. Then Moses knows he can get in. When if Moses gets in and the people are ready, that's the Messianic age started. But Moses had two levels litmus paper test. One, check on the best of them, the leaders. Then when the leaders came back, they fell. And they come and tell the people, this is terrible, the people are so strong. We are talking about Dor De'ah, the age of knowledge. They were knowledgeable, those people, they just experienced Mount Sinai revelation. They could look at these people and say like, are you talking nonsense? What are you doing? What happened to you? Hello? Wake up. God told us we got in. He, you know, the same reasoning I used. How come they did? They listened. That was the second test. Who would they listen to? Moses, Caleb, and Joshua? Or are they going to listen to the 10 ones who fell into speaking evil? That's another test. Who are you listening to? Because the person you're listening to, they chose who you are, right? And especially today, we know there's so many kinds of talk. This kind and this kind, spiritual, not spiritual, leftist, rightist, centrist, liberal, non-liberal, communist. Oh, there's so many ideologies. Who are you listening to? They chose about who you are, right? They made the choice. Which side are they? It was not the side of the tree of life. Moses knew they are not ready, so I cannot get into the land, the promised land, at messianic time. It's not the time right now. Why did he do it on the 9th of Av? He was a Pisces, a gambler. He came down from the mount on the 17th of Tammuz. Don't you know it's a crazy day? They came back on the 9th of Av because if they did it on the 9th of Av, game over. Moses comes in with the Israelites, Mashiach, no more death, no more pain for all of humanity. They were not ready. That's what Moses wanted to know. Are they ready to be big, to connect to the tree of life? So what's our message in that? So let's go a little bit backwards. Just like go to the beginning. And Rabbi Ezekloria in Shara Psukim, the gate of verses, is asking, says, Slach lecha anashim v'yatu et eretz Knaan. Okay, and then it says, v'yishlach otam Moshe mibar paran api Hashem, and he sends them, kulam anashim, all of them are great, rashei bnei Yisrael, they are the heads of the children of Israel. And Rabbi Ezekloria is asking, why in the beginning of the book of Bamidbar, when you have the names of the people, it says over there, Nesi'ei matot avotam rashei alfei Yisrael. He counts them over there as the leaders of the nations, the same people, same names, but he calls them the presidents of the staffs, rashei alfei Yisrael. He names them differently. The heads of the thousands of Israel. In Hebrew, it's a game. Aluf is also the general. Mm-hmm. They're like the heads, general heads of the. And here he speaks Bnei Yisrael Hema. And then he says, there's another question. It says each one of them, Lemate Shimon Shafat Ben Chori, Lemate, and he gives the names, Lemate Yehuda Kaleb Ben Yifune, Lemate Yisachar Yigal Ben Yosef. But then when it comes to Menashe, verse 11, chapter 13, Lemate Yosef, Lemate Menashe, Gadi Ben Susi. To the staff of Joseph, to the staff of Menashe, Gadi Ben Susi. Okay? But why Lemate Yosef? Because there's no tribe Yosef. There are two tribes for Yosef, Menashe and Ephraim. But he didn't say Lemate Yosef about Ephraim. It's a Lemate Ephraim, Hoshea Binun. What's the story? Why he doesn't say Lemate Yosef, Ephraim, and Menashe? No, he mentions only Menashe as to the staff of Joseph. Doesn't mention Ephraim to the staff of Joseph. Okay? So, the Arizal is saying that as forward. When these brothers come to see Joseph, they don't know it's Joseph. in Egypt. They're brought in. And Joseph says to them, "Meraglim atem, you are spies." Why did he say that? Says Rabbi Zaklora, he says to them, in the future, you're going to be the spies. The 10 of you are going to be the spies. How come? So Rabbi Isaac Lurie explains over here a very powerful message. When those 12 wanted to get in, were sent to that very powerful mission, they're going to face the challenge of becoming a real nation. Think about it, they're not a nation yet. They were taken out of Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. Now, in the desert, are they really free? Are they really responsible for their food? Are they really responsible for their water? No, it's all given to them. Are they really responsible for anything? No. They're being provided. Okay? And the power of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam is so great. They're okay. Everything is organized. Going into a new country means everybody scatters around. Each family gets its own inheritance, its own lot. And you have to start being on your own. You, the weather, and Israel is different than Egypt. In Egypt, Egypt is a gift of the Nile. You want water? You get an aqueduct from the Nile, and you get the water. And the Nile, there's water, always water. 365 days a year, there are water. In Israel, oh, it's different. You have to pray. You have to pray, and maybe there will be water. It's not like Egypt. You have to be really resourceful. And you have to use the lot. It's not the Nile, that it's all flat land. You know, you carve yourself a land, you bring the water, and you plant. No, you have to create the land out of the bushes, out of the hills, out of the stones. You have to build terraces and stuff like this. You have to create, and you have to do it on your own. You know what? Do you think the leaders of the tribes didn't know that? When they saw the land, they realized, and they had the Holy Spirit, and they realized, are these people ready right now, our people, to be each on their own? You know what happens? You know, I know a lot of people that they speak ideology and ideology and ideology, loving others and equality and this and this. And the moment they go to work, poof, it's gone. Why? Money, money, money. I have to pay the bills. And away with ideology, whatever you do, whatever it takes to bring the dollar to your home. Right? How many people do that? Oh, and they go to lectures and they go this and they believe in all kinds of beautiful ideologies till it comes to put the bread on the table in front of your family. Today it's not the bread, so now it's to pay the 3 times going to Switzerland and to go to, Aspen, Colorado, and maybe you want to take a cruise. Oh, there's some other stuff, you know, I'm laid back. It's like today it's like even more fancy than what I just said. Okay? And you set the style of living and you have to pay for it. Who will pay for it? Somebody has to give you the money. And sometimes, you know, and you start seeing so much treachery and so much manipulation of people trying to make money. And being honest today, it's tough. So it's very easy to speak about lofty ideas, but when it comes to business, well, it's not so easy. So what do you think? Our leaders didn't see that. And they were saying, the moment those people will scatter away and each one will be in his corner, would they have time to study? They'll have to build a country. They'll have to bring food to the table. There's no water in this country. You have to build everything, water aqueducts. You have to build reservoirs. You have to build the land. The land at that time was covered 90-something% forest. It's not very developed agriculture place. You have to build it from nothing. They didn't think they're ready. That was their mistake. If you ask them, those people, before Moses got the Israelites out of Egypt, do you think we can get out of Egypt fighting Pharaoh? What will be their answer? Logically, forget it. We, bunch of slaves against a whole organized army, the biggest, strongest administration in the world. How can we do that? It's a problem. Logic is a problem. Still, they were willing to give a fight. They were willing to give a fight. And when you're willing to give a fight, says the Ari, you get the help. And they got the help. What was the help? It says, whoever shows the intention to get purified, they help him. Who's they? Who's they? So there is a saying, the day is complicated, but part of the day is there are high souls that finished the tikkun already, of holy souls, and when you make your effort and you say, logically, I know logically it's impossible, but logic is not what really controls this world. We're humans. Humans are supposed to be miracle doers. You just take a person and you put him in a job 9 to 5 in a box. He has to fill up the forms and so on. It will kill him. You know, some people die slowly. They just wilt. And some people just revolt. And then they die in a crescendo because they can't, but they don't know how to get out of it. Humans have been created in the image of God. We need to make miracles. We need challenges. What is a challenge? Challenge is an obstacle that your logic is telling you, you can't do that. And you say, but I have to. I have to. And you go because you feel you have to, and you go against your logic. That's called a miracle. What's the definition of a miracle? It's from the word nes in Hebrew. Leave the English. Nes. Nes means lanus velitnoses, to flee out and above. Okay? When you do things against your logic, outside the box, and you fight, you give your best, says the Arizal, a higher soul will get into you. And when they get into you, they come with their consciousness of tree of life. You know, when you're in the tree of knowledge, logic says, no way. It's, you know, win, lose. Most chances you lose, he wins, whatever. Tree of life means no obstacles. Everything is open. Everything is possible. You know what? Even if I'm going to do my best, it's not going to come out the way I think. It's going to come better than what I think because I did my best. Because I did my best, because I gave everything I had. And how would I get, you know, how many people do you know? Check it out. That through their lives, they found themselves standing in front of an obstacle, a challenge. Their logic said, no way, it's impossible. And something inside said, but I have to. I have to go through it. It's being or ceasing to exist. And they went into it. And when you finish that, and you're behind it, and you look backwards, it's like, did I do that? That's not me. There's no way I did it. You know what Americans say? It's impossible. When do they say it? When it happened. Do you hear what you're saying? If it happened, it means that it's possible, correct? So why are you saying it's impossible? You're saying I'm stupid. Yes, you are. Your logic says it's impossible. That means it's impossible. The fact is it happened. So it is possible. Because it was impossible according to your old logic. But the moment you show a fight and you really show the best and you don't give up, and you're not letting despair to take over. You just believe in the best. You get help. So what help did they get? They knew it's a challenge. They knew they have to step up to a new world of taking responsibility, the birth of a real new nation that is supposed to give an example of freedom, real, true freedom to all of humanity. What happened over here? They were willing to give the fight. And what's the result? They got help. Each one of them got the spirit, the neshama, of the tribe, the son of Jacob, that they represented. So, each one of them got one of the sons. You know, that's why when Joseph saw the brother, he said, "You are spies. You're going to be spies." So what this walk in of a soul into a person, it's called in Hebrew ibur. Ibur means pregnancy. Like you look at a pregnant woman, but you see her, but there's another person inside her, right? That you're not seeing him. And the first stages you don't see, there's no any sign that there's someone else inside. Okay? So whenever a person is making the attempt, to win, logically I have no idea, but I have faith. I know I have to make it. Someone will come in and give you the boost. With a different consciousness, suddenly you know and you have no idea where did you know it from. Don't do this. Do it this way, and this way, and this way. And that's what they did. But then happened something else. Just a second. But before that, we're talking about 10 of them. But Joshua, he did not get, that's why it says Lematei Yosef, he did not get the soul of Joseph. The head of the tribe of Menashe got Joseph. Joshua got nothing. It is to teach us. Why didn't get anything? Somebody had to take Joseph. The head of Menashe took him. So what did he get? It says that Moses prayed for him. Who was Joshua? He was Moses' disciple. He was his closest student. So you can get help from a soul of a righteous person that completed his tikkun, and when he sees that you're making the attempt and you really fight for it and you deserve it, you make the effort, he will get into you and will give you the boost, and you will set on fire. Suddenly you're like, wow, I don't know where did I have this fire from, and how did I know how to do it? It's from that higher soul that came into me and brought me up. But says the Ari, it's not always from a dead person. It could be from someone alive, your teacher. You can get ibur of your teacher when he's still alive. He gets into you and he gets all the wisdom he has into you, not through listening, but the Kabbalists call it mouth to mouth, like kissing. You get the spirit. Joshua got Moses' spirit. Not just Moses. Moses had his father and father's father and everything. He got the whole thing. So, to teach us, if you have a teacher and you serve him and you love him and he loves you and you really work to learn his ways and to support him in the direction of his goals, you can get an ibur of him while he's still alive. That's why Rav Ashlag said, what is a Kabbalist? The word Kabbalist comes from the word lekabel. Lekabel, to receive, right? When you receive the soul of your teacher into you, because you care so much for helping him moving on, you get that soul in, so you get the whole disc. How do we know? Ethics of the Fathers, how does it start? Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Moshe received the Torah on Mount Sinai. Umesara li Yoshua. He gave it to Joshua. He doesn't say he taught it to Yoshua. You know, 100 people will sit in the same lecture. Now you interview each one of them. What did you hear? You get 100 different versions, if not more. So says Rabbi Yashlag, you hear through your own screen, right? So did you hear what the teacher said, or you heard your own individual version? You know the game Broken Telephone? What will happen after a few generations? It will all be diluted and finished. A Kabbalist is someone that went, got it through the vine, but the real vine. What does it mean? Moses got the real copy of Mount Sinai. Yes, he was the first one to download from the cloud into the tablet. But he was a tablet. Moses was a tablet. He got it into his own. He had the whole disk. He downloaded it to his student, Joshua. That's why Joshua received. He doesn't say studied. He received the whole copy. He gave it to the elders. They gave it to the next generation. So what is a Kabbalist? A Kabbalist is somebody who received from somebody, received to somebody, all the way up to Moses. So a real Kabbalist has the disk. Which means, how do you get the disk? By when you really attach to your teacher. By devotion, by working hard, but not thinking, but just going for the goals. And then you see miracles happening because you don't let your logic to leave you small as a grasshopper. Any threat makes you small. That's one thing. So we had two ways. One is a great soul coming and helping you when you're really trying your best. Another one is choose a teacher that gives you the loftiness that you are really willing to work really hard for his goals and to serve him so you can get it directly from him. And the third one, Caleb. When Caleb saw that the others are falling, except from Joshua, he was afraid because he was afraid he has not enough. What does he do? So what it says, they went up the Negev. And then it says, and he went to Hebron. Who's he? Says the Zohar. That was Caleb. He was afraid he's going to fall like the others. He realized the others fell already. So he risked his life and he went to Hebron. Verse 32 in the Sulam of Rabbi Yashlag. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Orach Acharan Natil, he took a different path, a secret path, Caleb. Ve'akim Shvilin, V'umatal Kivrei Davan, he risked his life to go to Hebron, although there were giants over there. Why? He wanted to get the help of the patriarchs, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah. When he came there with so much devotion, and he prayed over there, V'istakan Begamei, he risked his life. דאקטיב ושם אחימן ששי בתלמי ילדי ענק, they are the giants. אבל מן דיו בדוחקה, whoever is stressed out, and he can't see a way out. You can't be picky. You have to risk your life to get the connection. כך כלב, the same with כלב. בגין דאבה בדוחקה, he was afraid he's going to lose it like the others. He didn't think he's so smart. He was wise. But he saw, this one is a challenge beyond me. ואתה לצלל קברי אבות. So he went to pray in the מכפלה, in the cave of מכפלה, to get the help. So what did he get? He got the souls of Avram and Sarah, Yitzhak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah. They were enough to secure him, to give him the power not to fall into the pit that others fell. כך כלב, להשתעזבה מיתדה. To be saved from that bad advice they took for themselves. So what are we here about? Are we here about bad-mouthing the Israelites? Or are we here to show we're not so smart? This is the month of Gemini. Gemini, once they're charming, they're smart, whatever the problem is, they think they're smart. And when you're smart, they're all in the head. When you think you are smart, you're finished. Logic is the last thing you can count on. You have to connect to something beyond, outside the box. And when it's a month of Gemini, we all become Geminis. We all in love with our logic, with our advice, with our ideas. No! If you don't know how to reinvent yourself, what I mean to reinvent yourself? Is to get out of the box. To get out of the box. How are we going to get out of the box? Can a computer create on itself a program higher than he is? No. Can a human being do that? No. Yes, you can. When you get an ibur of a higher soul, that higher soul will give you a lift. And that's why it says, "En ha'asir matir et atzmo mibeit ha'asurim." The prisoner cannot release himself from jail. You need somebody from the outside. How would you get out of the box? You get the help. Only if you count on the illogical, on the things that are not real, just by pure faith. How do we know? It says so. Let's skip a little bit forward. And we see, after everybody cries and everybody's upset, and then God says, chapter 14, verse 11. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, and God says to Moses, Ad ana yenatzuni am hazeh. How long could these people despise me, curse me? You know, the word is very loaded. I don't want to go into it. Ad ana lo yaminu bi, how long they won't believe in me, won't faith in me. Bechol ha'otot asher asiti bekibo, with all the miracles I gave into them. All of those miracles. 10 plagues, not enough. Spit in the Red Sea, not enough. Pillar of fire, not enough. Pillar of smoke, not enough. Manna from the heavens. Water from the stone. Mount Sinai revelation, and that's not enough. They still say, let's go back to Egypt. Do you understand what does it mean? Messianic age. So many people fall into that stupid idea. Someone will come and he will deliver us. You cannot deliver anyone who's not ready to be delivered. You can't save anyone who can't save himself. You can't make anyone successful if the person doesn't know or doesn't want to be successful on his own. If somebody wants to be a victim, no one can save him from that. You can inspire, you can guide, and that's exactly the story. If Moses, why Moses couldn't go into the Holy Land with the nation? They were not ready. They were not ready to be saved. So someone will come, so powerful, stronger than Moses, the Messiah. No taxes, no diseases, nothing, no problems. Would we get along with each other? We'll find a way how to get into each other's way. Why? You have to take responsibility. We didn't pass the test. So Moses knew, I cannot lead them into the Holy Land because they are not ready for the Messianic age. What is it for us? Okay, I can have my own Messianic age, my own private, when I connect to the Tree of Life. How do I connect to the Tree of Life? I have to be with devotion and faith. I can't trust my logic. I have to give all but the best I can. I have to know there's something bigger than me. Why? Do you think that you know everything? Just simple as that. Do you think whatever you know, there's nothing to learn anymore? We know the more you know, the more you know that you know nothing. Right? The less you know, the more you think, the more you think you're smart, right? So the more a person think he's smart, we know he knows nothing. So the more you know means that you know just a little bit. So how can you make it through life if you don't know anything? Devotion and faith. This is it. you have devotion and faith, higher souls will help you. The wisdom of other books will help you. You read the Zohar and you study the Zohar and you really want to change, Rabbi Shimon will help you. You don't have to go to his grave. Just read the Zohar, scan the Zohar, learn the Zohar, and not because you want to be smart, because you want to become better. You want to get out of the box. You want to go higher. You want to ascend. That's the way. Oh, if God came from the heaven and gave me all of these signs, I will be faithful. It's a lie. It's a lie. You know, people can see miracles in front of their eyes and they forget in an instant. How many people did see miracles nowadays? A lot of people. People see miracles all the time. But we're going to denial. Why? We don't want to commit to be, you know, to commit being free, having faith, no doubt, no complaining, can't be a victim, everything is for the good. Whatever happened is good. Why? If the Creator allowed it to happen, like Joseph said to the brothers, you wanted to kill me? You thought evil? God turned into good. You got a lemon? Make a lemonade. This is what this life is about. This is what this parasha is about. This is amazingly powerful parasha because it gives us the healing for all those maladies that we have. Maybe I can't make it. My logic tells me this is no, I have no hope. Who asked you? Who asked you? The guy who invented antibiotics. Did anybody ask him? No, he made a mistake. There was an accident. Something killed all his germs, that bacteria that he grew up in his petri dishes. And just a second before he threw it to the garbage, saying like, ah, another accident. He's like, why I'm so unlucky? He said, like, just a second. What killed it? If I learn who killed that and how he killed it, I can learn how to kill all the diseases. And that's how he found. But how many other scientists threw the petri dishes with antibiotics into the garbage and missed the opportunity because they thought they're smart? Who gave that guy the idea? Hey, stop for a second. It's not a lemon. This is a golden lemonade. Right? How many mistakes became great revelations? Why it was a mistake? Your logic thought it's a mistake. But somebody said to you, hey, watch it again. Maybe it's not a mistake. Who gave me that idea? Somebody got in. And he bore another soul. Hey, you came to this world just for that. Wake up. Don't throw it. Wake up. Screaming. Okay. Oh, who gave you the ability to see it in a way nobody else looked at it before? Why it's called an invention? Because somebody invented it in from outside your box. That's what being human is about. You're not here to be logical. Oh, logic is good. You have to. But when you go for challenges, you know your logic, if you're going to think the way you thought till now, you're going to get the same results. We're not doing the effort for the same results. And there's always a bigger logic than that. So then, when God says to Moses, let's kill all of them and finish it all and we'll make from you a new nation. As Moses, okay, here we go again. It will be the same souls, the same story. Okay, God, you know, and what the world would say? It's like that God is not powerful enough. He got them out of Egypt and he can't give it. Now, forget it. So God said, so maybe not. Is that the story? No. Moses is saying, chapter 14, verse 19. Slach na la'avon ha'am hazeh, kegodel chasdecha. Forgive the sin of this nation with the might, with the greatness of your chesed. I know you're God. I know you're trying to, fool me around. You love them more than you love them. You're not upset about them. You're crazy about them. You created them. You're not going to kill them. Forget about it. There's no way. You are chesed. You're the source of light. It's our judgment that tells us, oh, God hates you right now. He's going to smite you. Same thing with the giants. What do you have to do? No, God is all about love. And he says, if you're going to change your ways, if you could forget about it, I'll forget about it too. וכאשר נסעת לעם הזה ממצרים עד הנה, says God, you know, God, you love them. What are you talking about? You're not going to, it's my logic playing with me. God is not going to do that. And what's God's answer? Verse 20. ויאמר השם סלחתי כדבריך. And God said, so I forgive because you said so. God, just because Moses said so, don't you understand that it's all about us? It's the way we see things, that's the way they become. The light is the light. The light can never change. You want to be upset about everything, to see it as a mistake, it's a disaster. It's going to be a mistake. It's going to be a disaster. You want to say it's all God, it's all good. It's going to be all God. It's going to be all good. Whatever you say. Whatever you say. ועולמך יניב ימלא כבוד השם את כל הארץ, כי כל האנשים האלה, okay, those people that are so negative, they can't go into the Holy Land. It's too late for them. What was their punishment? They stayed with Moses in the desert. You know what I mean? To be with Moses in the desert, you eat the manna every day. The tabernacle is working. You see Aaron working in the temple. It's like, whoa. You learn from Moses. What kind of a punishment is that? Huh? That's being in heaven. Okay, everybody die, they say, when they reach the age of 60. Until they were 60. Nobody was sick. You didn't lose a child because of sickness, because he was bitten by a snake. They were in a heavenly-like stage for 40 years. Why? It was a correctional facility. You know, you're battered, you're a slave all your life for generations. It's very hard to believe in the good. What will do that? You need to be hugged. You need to get back that feel of chesed, of love. So when they got finally with Joshua, 40 years later, into the land, they were strong enough to build a nation. Because they finally were there, as the Zohar says, why Moses couldn't go into the Holy Land? And the Zohar says, the sun has to set so the moon and the stars can shine. They were ready to shine, and Moses was in the way. They go into the promised land without Moses. So finally, after being treated with so much love for 40 years, they can start, see, they can do it on their own. Fight for making a living, creating a holy nation, creating a family, without, you know, the nannies around taking care of you. They were ready. And they built a nation, little by little. They needed the judges and some prophets. And finally they brought in a kingdom with King Saul and then with King David. And they brought in a Bible, 24 books. And the message came out to the whole world. And the whole world is still learning that message. It was worthwhile investing in these people because all over the world people were abused. You know, sometimes you find a stray dog and they call it post-trauma. They're so much afraid, there's a little noise, they jump, they bite. Well, they went through so much pain. The same thing with people. When you see people behaving this way, they can't believe in chesed. So this parasha is to get us to believe that we can. You can fight and you get all the help. Just do it. Just show you can do it. What happened to the ten that were... What about the Hedi Burim? It says, Vayavo, when you have an Ibur, but you still go astray and you still go into negativity, what does it say? They came to Moses, Vayelchu, Bawel Moshe Valchu. Mi alach? Who went away? they lost their Iburim. Because when you start to be negative, you lose all the help, all the high souls that might be in you before to help you. They're not here to suffer. They were already in heaven. They came to help you. So you can lose all of it if you allow anger, hatred. When anger and hatred are what you should have, all, you know, something is wrong, I'm losing everything. At least shut up. Go take a meditation, say the Ana Bekoach, scan the Zohar, read the Zohar, do something good for someone else. Maybe you're going to get to your senses, but don't speak up. Don't let your logic fool you, because it's the wrong logic from the wrong side. We have all the tools, and then when it says, and Moses is saying, Egdal na koach Hashem, says the Zohar, like Moses wants to bring in that force of chesed, that force of, when it says, Ayesh ba'etzim ayin, Moses wanted to know, is there the ahnaga of Zeranpin? Is there the power right now in the land of Israel and among us of cause and effect? Or is it the light of the Keter, the upper Atik? Everything is for the good. You know, when somebody is enlightened, whatever happens, that's for the good. He can fit it in. Maybe not with your logic, but with your heart. And you know what happens when you're like this? Everything falls in to that way. Moses wanted to check, are we ready? We were not. But here in this parasha, we have the seeds that we can plant in ourselves so we can become ready. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm.